Hello, this is Jessica Bordolo, young adult ministry consultant here in St. Louis, and I'm talking with Dr. Charles Arend, professor at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, about his recent work in the area of environmentalism.
Hi, Jessica. It's so good to see you again, and feel free to call me Chuck.
What got you started? What made you interested in this topic?
A number of years ago, I've always been interested in what we might call the theology of creation. More specifically, how God continues to work within the world. About 3 years ago, however, the Synod and Convention asked our Commission on Theology and Church Relations to prepare a report on the responsible or the Christian responsibility toward creation. And so the last 3 years, that's basically what I've been doing.
So you've been kind of digging into that one topic, focused on that.
Yes, I have, in terms of research and writing. And it's actually been a lot of fun. I've uncovered a lot of new things. It's not a topic that our church has a lot of experience in addressing or writing about. We're kind of a blank slate. So I had to almost start from scratch in terms of what are the issues, what questions are being raised, and how do we go about this in a balanced Christian fashion? What should our role be as Christians?
Well, I just would like to say how excited I am that our church body is addressing this topic, because environmentalism is so important to young adults. We've been raised, you know, with Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers from little on up, that, you know, taught us to take care of things, to recycle, to reuse, to pay attention to what's going on in the world around us and take care of it. And a lot of times the church doesn't seem to echo that. And so I think to a lot of young adults, it seemed like the church was being hypocritical because they were not supportive of these environmental causes.
Yeah, you know, what you're saying has been confirmed by any number of conversations that I've had over the last months. Down in New Orleans, I ran into a mother who said that she had two daughters who both went into environmental science. One is now out west and has sort of drifted away from the church, partly because she feels that the church doesn't care about what she cares about. I had another experience of a young woman who wanted to major in environmental science but had been discouraged from doing so, partly because the concern was that she would become, if not pantheistic, perhaps more of a radical environmentalist. Yesterday, in fact, I was just talking with a pastor out in Colorado. His congregation is comprised mostly of people between the ages of 25 and 35, and he said, you know, the two issues that they are concerned about, that they're looking for, is one, community; second, care of creation.
That's absolutely echoing the experiences that I've had with young adults too. They're looking for community and they care about the environment. And for a church body that doesn't, wouldn't make sense to them.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And the shame of it is that I think as Christians, we do have a lot to contribute.
Tell me more about the research that you did in Scripture and what you found Scripture to say about our role with the environment.
Well, if I can, perhaps even to preface that question a little bit, the question I found being raised by everyone who does work in this area, or virtually everybody, is that the question is really, how do we see ourselves and how we relate to the world in which we live? And how do we see ourselves? Are we above this earth? Are we part of it? Are we not part of it? Are we separate from it? Are we simply biding our time here until we can escape it and our spirits, our souls, go up to heaven? The major question is, who are we? What are we? Where do we fit within creation? Along with that, though, I think as Christians, we need to be able to acknowledge among the environmentalists, if you will, to say, you know, there's some real scriptural merit to what you all are talking about. We'd like to come alongside and help. And I think we can do that in a way that maintains a healthy balance between emphasizing our creatureliness, that we are God's creatures made in His image, but creatures who have responsibility for their fellow creatures. So, with regard to what Scripture says about this, probably the most important text, the one that gets criticized all the time, is the Genesis 1:28 text, where God gives Adam and Eve dominion over the earth, to subdue the earth and to rule over it. Among critics of Christianity, they always point to this passage. I've run into some who say, well, that passage gives Christians a license to conduct themselves as the earth's worst pest. Another one said, well, that passage gives Christians a bulldozer mentality. Others would say, well, that passage basically gives people the license to be a weed species on the face of the earth. And so they tend to look at that passage. God gives human beings dominion. Well, we can do whatever we want with the earth. We can dominate. We can use it entirely for our purposes. But what I kind of discovered is that's not what those passages at all mean. God gives us dominion over the earth, to be sure. But if you stop and think about it, dominion doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want with it. Instead, it means that we rule so that everything under our care thrives and flourishes. So in that passage of Genesis 1:28, God gives us dominion, but in order to do that, he makes us in his image, which seems to suggest that our dominion should reflect God's own dominion. While God's own dominion is not tyrannical, God is not a dictator, he's not a tyrant, God doesn't rule or govern the universe simply for his self-aggrandizement. He rules for the purpose of taking care of everything so that everything flourishes. Well, if we're made in his image, our dominion should reflect God's own dominion, which is more of a benevolent ruling, so that all of God's creatures thrive and flourish as he intended.
So your study of Scripture tells you that God wants us to take care of the environment as he is taking care of us.
Yeah, in fact, I think one could make a strong case from Genesis that if you were to ask the question, for what purpose did God create Adam and Eve? For what purpose did he create human beings? You can make a strong case. He creates for the purpose of taking care of what he had made. I mean, you simply look at the narrative and how the narrative, God carves out spaces for 3 days. He fills those spaces with creatures of every kind. Then he creates Adam and Eve for the purpose of taking care of everything he had made. In order to take care of everything he had made, he makes us in his image so that we can, collaborate with God. You know, I almost picture that as Adam and Eve went about taking care of the garden, that they would have consulted with God, that, hey, God, what do you think about this here or about this here? And that it would have been kind of a collaborative, that God enlists us as his co-workers or calls us as his co-workers in the care of the cultivation of creation. Absolutely.
With it being so clear in Scripture that part of our role as stewards is to care for creation, why do you think environmentalism has kind of gotten a bad rap with so many Christians?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. The first reason lies with Christians, and perhaps is a little bit of our own fault. Namely, that too often, I think in the last 100 years or so, when Christians talk about salvation, you know, this world is sinful, this world is bad, Jesus saved me, I'm out of here. So if I'm going to heaven, why worry about this earth? And instead, Christians need to realize that when Jesus came, he came to reclaim his entire creation and to restore and renew his creation. So Jesus came with a physical body. He rose physically from the dead as the vanguard of the new creation. So that salvation has to be more holistic. It embraces our rescue from sin, but also the freedom or the restoring of all creation, releasing it from the bondage to corruption, as Paul says in Romans 8. So that's one reason. Part of the fault lies with us as Christians and how we talk about salvation. in too narrow and too spiritualistic of a manner. We need to broaden our understanding. The second reason I think is perhaps more politically. A lot of times Christians tend to be very concerned not only on theology but social issues, and in having to stand up for, say, the unborn and pro-life positions, that might lean one in certain political directions. And very often those who are pro-choice or pro-abortion, one might say, often also are strong, perhaps strong advocates of environmentalism. So unfortunately, the political polarities perhaps come into play there. But also, sometimes the environmentalists take certain stands in terms of perhaps even becoming pantheistic or hostile to Christianity. And I don't know, maybe we recoil from that a little bit. Maybe we push back a little bit from that. But I do think a lot of times the environmental movement is identified with a certain political party or certain political causes. Personally, I think what we need to do is embrace both. I think that Christians need to be pro-life, all life. So we can be pro-life in terms of the unborn, but also pro-life in terms of God's other creatures and conserving and preserving them. It's not an either or. It's sort of a both and. And I think what a witness that gives, it keeps people off balance. They can't pigeonhole us and say, well, you're a church body of the Republican Party or a church body of the Democratic Party or something like that. So it keeps them off balance, and we're sort of pro-life, all life that God has made.
It seems to be a better fit with what we learn in Scripture, too, than to be an independent, a citizen of a different world, and not so much align ourselves with certain specific political bodies now, because they're ruined by sin just like everything else is.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think on this, Christians can lead the way. At the same time, I think Christians, we have an opportunity for some new conversations with groups that we haven't had before and people that we haven't had before. I think we can, we don't always have to start sort of like a new Christian organization or environmental organization. I think there's an opportunity for us to come alongside others who are already working in these areas, whether it's for to reestablish a population of an endangered species, for example, like the whooping crane, whether it's to clean up a river, whatever the issue might be. We can come alongside non-Christian conservationists and environmentalists and say, can we help? We care about this as well, and build those relationships, and those relationships will open up opportunities for conversation. I've been struck by how many people are genuinely surprised to find out that Christians care about the environment or care about creation. I have a graduate student who's working in this area. She works down at the YMCA. When she is asked, what are you going to write your thesis on? And she explains, namely, care of creation. They go, really? Christians care about that?
What a bad name we've given ourselves.
Exactly. I had another student who was up for jury duty selection. And he was excused from the jury selection. Another man was excused as well, who was a Greenpeace activist. And my student said on his way out, this Greenpeace activist came up to him and said, why don't you Christians care about the environment? And he said, well, actually, we do. We believe that God made us together with all creatures and that we have a responsibility. And this activist was like, what? I've never heard that before. So there's a real opportunity, because I think when they view Christians, they view Christians as otherworldly, that we're only interested in getting off this earth and up into heaven, so we don't care about anything that goes on down here.
So heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good, right?
Exactly. And that's where we got to pull these two together, that God is concerned not only about our soul, but our body. He's concerned about the whole person, the whole creature, and all of creation for that matter. So I think we've got some real opportunities here.
as you pulled together all of your research and looked at past environmentalists, scripture, what are some other sources that you drew from?
Wow, that's a good question, Jessica. Certainly I looked through any number of histories on how human beings have thought about themselves and their relationship to creation. I looked at a lot of the nature writers. America's produced, in some ways, created the genre of nature writing, from Henry David Thoreau through John Muir, all the way on down to the present day, Gary Snyder, Carl Safina, I can think of any number of others. And then within the Christian tradition, I run across others like Basil of Caesarea, Basil the Great, 4th century, Gregory of Nazianzus, guys who helped write the Nicene Creed, and how they speak in glowing terms about the beauty of God's creation. Martin Luther has been of help in saying, you know what, there's no greater title than you can be called than to be called a creature of God. He says, some want to be called doctors and princes, but you're a creature of God. You're God's handiwork. 20th century Danish theologian Gustav Wingren has been another one. And I think along the way, I've come to realize that there are a lot of questions that we as Christians need to think about biblically that I never stopped to think about before. For example,
it seems to be a better fit with what we learn in Scripture, too, than to be an independent a citizen of a different world and not so much align ourselves with certain specific political bodies now, because they're ruined by sin just like everything else is.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think on this, Christians can lead the way. One of the things we are working on this year is to develop workshops for congregations, to both walk them through this document, but to also share with congregations what other congregations are doing. There's some creative things going on out there. Another thing we're doing is going to develop some multimedia Bible studies and hopefully sermon studies that will be available for congregations. But more than anything else, I say contact you or contact me. I'd love to talk about this topic, and I hope, Jessica, we could maybe even do a follow-up session down the road.
That would be fantastic. Together with allcreatures.com is Dr. Aaron's blog. If you go to our Facebook link on our homepage, you can discuss this with other listeners. And if you have other questions for Dr. Aaron, put them there on the blog, on the Facebook group page, and I will send them to him. If you have things that you'd like to hear him talk about in the future, put that in the Facebook group page, and I can do further interviews with him and address the questions that you might have. Thank you for taking the time for talking with us, Dr. Aaron. And more than that, thank you for all the years of research you've put into this topic for our church body to help us raise our awareness of the importance of being real stewards of what God has made, of his whole creation, and the importance of taking care of his environment.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Jessica, for your encouragement and your enthusiasm for this topic as well.